Good afternoon, everyone. The title of this message is, What's Your Stumbling Block? We have all had a lot of things happen to us since we've come into the church. Some have had loved ones pass away. Some have had to deal with major illnesses or injuries. Some have had to deal with being married to unconverted mates. Some have had to deal with the perverted education system of this world. Some have had to deal with severe financial problems. Some have had to deal with physical family members. All the things in this world that we have to deal with have been part of it. But by most and by far, the thing that we've had to deal with the most, we have all had to deal with the scattering of the church. Our leaders have been compromised. The brethren in a state of division. Our ranks have been infiltrated. All of this has led to many falling away, many that have just given up. I have seen brethren that I thought were so strong, so solid in the faith, just let something take them out. What is it that will take us out? What button will the God of this world push to cause us to stumble? What's your stumbling block? Should we be happy with all these things that hurt us, cause us sorrow and pain? No, we should not be happy with any of this. We should be angry about many of the things. Yes, we should be angry. If you're happy about these hurtful things, if you're not angry, then you've missed the point. Yes, God tells us to be joyful in all our trials and tribulations, but the joy is over building our relationship with him, over overcoming, perseverance, building the strength to make it into his kingdom, not the joy of the things that are happening. God tells us there is a time for sorrow. God tells us to be angry and sin not. But what we cannot do is let any of this come to a point that consumes us, that causes a root of bitterness, that takes our mind off of God. What we must do is be at peace in our lives. Please turn to 2 Corinthians 13:11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. This is where we find our peace. This is where we find love from God to give us that peace. Now let us turn to John 14:27. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. When we are faced with trials, when we are faced with problems of this life, we must turn to God. That's where we find our peace. We put our troubles upon him. Christ will do it for us. He has done it for us. We must trust in God. If we let anything overwhelm us, we too can be taken out of the church, just like so many have. Please turn to Mark 4:16. And we're going to read 16 through 19. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things enter in, choke the word and become unfruitful. You know, many believe that this means that, oh, it just happens to those that just come into church and whatnot and stuff. Seen it happens to people in the church, been in the church for decades. Decades to God is a blink of an eye. It's nothing. It doesn't mean that immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves. No, the root was not there. It doesn't matter how long they stayed there and played church. Please turn to Luke 21. Luke 21, and we'll begin in verse 31. So we'll read 31 through 36. So likewise, ye, when you see these things come to pass, know that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with suffering and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch you therefore and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Well, these five verses could take up several messages, but anybody that doesn't believe that we're in this final generation, I know we've said this many times in the past, but we were looking at the wrong thing. We weren't looking at what was going on in the church. That's what Christ tells us to look at. We are in this final generation, and we are caught in the cares of this world. We have to watch always. And then, of course, this warning to watch always is how you're found worthy to go to the place of safety. A special reward for those that are paying attention. Have we learned to be content with where we are in life, with what we have in life? Please turn to 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6, and we'll read 6 through 8. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Anything we have, God has given us. And anything we face in this world is temporary. Please turn to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, and we'll begin in verse 35, and we'll read 35 through 40. When women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonment, they were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Do what we face really compare to anything our brethren have went through? We have become soft. We've become no dedication, no foundation. Israelite nations have had it so good for so long, so everything handed to us. Nobody's had to go through anything. Nobody's had to face anything. Please turn to Philippians 4. Philippians 4, beginning in verse 8. We'll read 8 through 14. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that is which through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfected, but I follow after, that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Do we count everything that we go through in this world as dung? Anything that we've given up, not that we don't, that we don't get, that it's just nothing. Do we seek for the righteousness of Christ? Do we wait for the resurrection, the true blessing, the true reward that we're supposed to be here for? Do we press forward for that high calling of God in Christ Jesus? Paul was constantly being persecuted, was beaten, shipwrecked, stranded in the ocean for days at a time, put in prison. He found contentment. He found peace. And he found these things in his relationship with God. Do we cast our troubles to and before God? Do we find our peace, our comfort in our God? Please turn to Psalms 25. Psalms 25:15. We will read 15 through 18. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thee me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. You know, so long that we've been in the church and hear people praying about what they're going to get, and if it's God's will, they'll get this and they'll get that. And there's nothing wrong with having nice things, if you have the right attitude about them and stuff and whatnot. That's not what God's talking about. We just read where our brethren were sawed in two, traveled about in goatskins, lived in caves and whatnot and stuff. That's not what God is promising. God is promising a reward of being a God being. If we make it through and come out of this world, face the persecution with his help, he promises the reward of being a spiritual God being. Going on in Psalms 71. Psalm 71, and we'll read 19 through 23. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who has done great things, O God? Who is like unto thee? Thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles shall quicken me again, and shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness, and comfort me on every side. I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth, O my God. Unto thee I will sing with the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul which thou hast redeemed. Do we understand this? He has shown us great troubles. The kingdom of heaven is, we go through troubles to get there. We go through this world, but we are not the called ones of this world. We are the called out ones of this world to be separate, to be different. We will face troubles, but he shall bring us up again from the depths of the earth. He shall resurrect us to a spiritual life where we will never face any of this again. We will be comforted forevermore. What's our stumbling block? What is going to take us out? Where does our treasure lie? Where is the desire of our hearts? Please turn to Matthew 6. Matthew 6, and we'll begin in 30. We will read verse 30 through 34. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you need all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. God promises us here that if we obey him, if we seek the kingdom first, that he will give us clothing, food, and protection. Nothing else. No, he doesn't promise us anything else, riches of this world and whatnot stuff. If we work hard and we do it in a godly way, there's nothing wrong with having those things. And they're in, put them in the proper perspective. But this is what God knows we need. We need physical food and substances to get through this life. Or do we seek after the things the Gentiles seek after? Do we seek after those things for the reason the Gentiles seek after them? Our Heavenly Father knows what we need. We need to seek first the kingdom of God. Brethren, in this Laodicean era, and make no mistake about it, we are all Laodicean. We have all become so distant from our Maker. The God of this world has given us a candy store, and he has filled it with stumbling blocks. The materialistic lust of this world, what can we get? What can we buy? What do we want? Not what do we need, but what do we want? The instant gratification. Don't have to save up for it. Don't have to work for it. I want it now. He has given us the candy of resentment towards one another, towards everyone. He's even given us the candy of hate. And so many have that. The candy of self-pity, of depression, of covetousness, wanting things that we don't need, just want. And maybe the worst of all, the candy of self-reliance. We no longer need God. We have technology. We have the society of medical promises. We have the society of entertainment. We have the society of a home that you just turn a thermostat on. You don't have to cut wood for it. You don't have to do any. Go to the refrigerator and grab a beer and turn on the ball game. We are self-reliant because that's what the God of this world teaches, is self. We are not concerned with others. We are not concerned with God. We have all been fooled into justifying and accepting all the false ways of the God of this world. We all think and do what's right in our own eyes. We rely on this world and ourselves, so far removed from the way God intended us to live. It's time for us to wake up, to realize God is smarter than we are. God always does what's right for everyone. It's time for us to wake up. Please turn to Romans 13. Romans 13, and we'll start in verse 11. Romans 13, 11, and we'll read through 14. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let's put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Please turn to Revelation 3. Revelation 3:14. And we will read 14 through 22. And unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. Oh, you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spit thee out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and know not that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that you may be rich, and white with white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that thou shame of thy nakedness does not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Do we understand what Christ is saying to us? He wants us to wake up, to answer the door, to be separate from this world, to be part of God's kingdom. It's up to us. God always does what he says he will do. He will finish the work that he started in us. Will we let him? Brethren, I started out this message about what has happened to all of us, about how the body has been scattered, going from very large groups to now we're blessed to be able to meet with a few of us over the internet. Some feel that they were abandoned and left alone. Some feel they were betrayed and used. And we feel that way because it's true. I'm not denying what's happened. I'm not saying that we should be happy about it. But I am saying that's not the point. We must get into the mindset that whatever happens in this physical life is not important. We must have Paul's strength, and that strength must come from God. If we are to get into heaven, it's through much trial and tribulation. For a final scripture, please turn to Luke 12. Luke 12, and we'll begin in 31. We'll read 31 through 34. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that fail not, where no thief approach, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there your heart be also.